I mentioned this morning that tonight's lesson is going to be about a great theme, and that theme is redemption. I'm just looking through our song book at some of the great songs that we have that deal with redemption. And notice some of the words, if you want to get your song book out for just a minute and look a couple of these. Song number 5, I believe it's 14. Yeah, song number 514, Singing Redemption Song. It's one I know we have sang here before many times. It says, angels are singing redemption's sweet song, wonderful theme, glorious theme. Shout the glad message and join in the throng, singing redemption song. Then back on number 411 is another great song about redemption. One that's been around a long time. It says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. And just look at, and those are just two instances of songs that deal with this theme. But yet, it might be a theme, and I think I can safely say redemption is an idea. It's a topic that probably is quite misunderstood in the religious world. It's used in a way that is not used in the Bible. When we look at what the word means, especially in the Old Testament, it often means to restore something to an original state. The idea of restoration is involved in the word redeem. So a redeemer would not only deliver, but a redeemer would also restore. Sometimes this would be someone redeemed from difficulty or danger, and usually it came at a very high price. And the one that was redeemed was set free by payment of a ransom. This, of course, is the idea behind what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When he says in verses 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says, don't you know that you were bought at a price? In other words, you were redeemed. A ransom was paid for you. A very costly price was paid for you. I think Christians would live differently if they understood on a daily basis how much it cost to make that payment. And that's one thing I want us to get out of tonight's lesson was the price. There's four questions I want us to answer about redemption tonight. The first question is, what is the source of our redemption? This is something that was mentioned in the very beginning of Luke's account of the gospel. In Luke chapter 1, verse 68, this is Zacharias' prophecy. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is what he said in verse 68 of Luke chapter 1. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Redemption then ultimately comes from God. And I suppose there are different ways God could have brought about redemption, but Jesus Himself says it came about one way. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, this is what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. There's the idea of redemption. Yes, it comes from God, and the instrument through whom He chose to bring about redemption was Christ. He says, Jesus is the one that paid the price. But it wasn't just His death that brought about redemption. It was the shedding of his blood specifically that did that. In Acts chapter 20, one of the most telling verses about the cost of our redemption. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, note the words of Paul to the elders at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul told these elders, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." It's not just his death that brought about redemption. It was the shedding of his blood that specifically brought it about. I remember it wasn't too many months ago, I was reading some well-known religious writer in our country, and he was talking about how crazy the whole concept was of Jesus shedding his blood. He said that was barbaric. That was uncivilized. And what did Jesus and Paul say about it? It was absolutely necessary for our redemption. Blood had to be shed. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. Not just any price was high enough for our redemption. And sometimes the world we live in, they do not understand that. The ransom Jesus paid was the only ransom valuable enough. We know ransom when people are kidnapped today. We know about what a ransom is. It's what has to be paid to get them back, to restore them to their original state. Well, see, that's what Jesus is said to have done for us. It's through his blood that we can be restored to our original state. But it couldn't be the blood of 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people. It could only be the blood of one person, and that was that lamb without spot and blemish. So that's what purchased the church. That was the ransom price. We were kidnapped, if you will, by sin, and that's what paid the price. Peter talks about how precious that price was in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, when he describes the cost. You know, we're amazed sometimes when we hear about ransom prices being millions and millions of dollars and how incredible that is. Notice what Peter says along those lines. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And we'll talk about how valuable that is. Peter says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold." It wouldn't have made any difference how much silver or gold was brought. It wasn't enough. "From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers," but here's how it brought about, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Says that's how precious it was. Gold and silver, that's nothing. Why isn't gold and silver sufficient? Because what's going to happen on the last day? It's all going to be burned up. We're not going to take any gold or silver into heaven with us. Money, we're not going to take money with us. So none of those things were incorruptible. It was Christ's blood. That's what it had to be. So the source of our redemption is divine. It was brought about through his blood because it was the only thing valuable enough to pay the price. Now, I think Christians would be much more willing to sacrifice, much more encouraged, much more motivated to live right if they understood how valuable that was. The church would be overflowing with people. What if we knew that someone was willing to pay $10 million for our ransom? Well, I'd think pretty highly of that person. Well, Jesus paid far more than that. And yet, notice how little and how ungrateful, seemingly, many Christians are for that incredible price. They treat it as if it's nothing. So what are we redeemed from? Question number two. What are we redeemed from? In Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, he says we're redeemed from death. We're redeemed from death. Hosea chapter 13, and I'll get there in a minute. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I went too far. Hosea chapter 13. Verse 14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. So what are we redeemed from? Death. I don't have to fear dying like an unbeliever has to fear it. You know, you can take the most rank atheist, the worst pagan imaginable, but on their deathbed, they start to have second thoughts. Of course, it's too late then. But they do. They start to have second thoughts about the life they have lived. He says, here, I'm going to redeem you from having to be concerned about the next life. He says, I'm going to redeem you from the power that death has over you. People in the world who are outside Christ should fear death. It should absolutely cause them to have nightmares because none of them are ready for it. Well, Jesus says, I paid the price so you don't have to feel that way. You don't have to fear death. Jesus said, I paid the price for your fear. So you don't have to suffer anxiety now. I have done it for you. In other places in the Old Testament, Psalm 103, verse 4, he says that he redeems them from the life, your life from the pit, from the grave. Psalm 49, 15, ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, from the power of the grave, from the power of death. Jesus said himself that he was going to rescue us from the power of death, so that death would no longer have dominion over us. So many people in the world live the way they do because they want to do all these things because they believe when the end comes, that's it. Unfortunately, they are so very wrong. With that, we are ransomed. We've paid the price he has for the power or from the power of sin. I want to focus on this one. I think it's so important for us to understand this in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 17. And notice what he says. And especially remember the idea of a price being paid. You were bought at a price. Someone purchased you. And Jesus or Paul uses that image here in Romans chapter 6. Notice what he says in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to you to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now notice verse 22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. We've been set free from sin. In what way? No longer do I have to bear the guilt, the punishment of sin. Jesus paid the price for that. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry that at the end of my life, somehow there's going to be some additional ransom that I have to pay. No. Jesus paid it all, like the song says. Jesus paid it all. That's what he's done. These people that Paul are talking to, that Paul's talking to in Romans 6, they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And of course, finally, that meant that they were baptized into his death. Going back to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Why is that so critical? Why are we baptized into his death? Because remember, it was his blood that provides the ransom price. Well, so what does that have to do? His blood was shed in His death. So when we're baptized into His death, that's where we contact His blood. That's where it was shed. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's why it's so important. He's ransomed us. He has paid the price. But we have to access it. Just like this morning when we talked about the one baptism. We access His blood through baptism. We can't access it any other way. Yes, it's available. Yes, it's been shed for us. But I have to come to it. What does redemption provide for me? At least three things. First of all, redemption provides forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul made this very clear in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. This whole section in Ephesians is about redemption that comes about being in Christ. Verse 7 says of Ephesians chapter 1, in Him, and he's just talked about Christ, that's the context, in Christ we have redemption through His blood. And what does that mean? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Where's redemption found? It's found in Christ. So where are the redeemed? The only people who are redeemed are in Christ, are in His body. You mean there's no people outside of His body that are redeemed? No. It says, in Him we have redemption. That's where it is. How did we get there? We were baptized. We were immersed. Because that's when His blood washed away my sins. I should die because of my sins. Jesus decided voluntarily to let me have a way out. And so He paid the price. It means I'm justified. In Romans chapter 3, redemption means that I can now be declared not guilty. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Right after saying that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul writes, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, God could have left us on our own, but He chose not to. He's justified us freely by His grace. And we are pronounced not guilty. Justification is a legal term. Just like a judge gets up and pronounces you not guilty. That's what Jesus' price did for us. Now we can say we're not guilty. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the price He paid for us. We are justified. And then lastly, we are purified by redemption. In Titus, I love this part. Titus chapter 2, notice verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus writes, or it's written to Titus, who gave Himself for us, talking about Jesus, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You read that part? His own special people. We are His treasured possession. I think I'm going to live different knowing that I'm His treasured possession, that I'm a special person. Jesus looks upon me differently because I've been redeemed. I'm special now. I'm part of His own special people. And I should view myself that way, not in the proud sense, but in the thankful sense. That I'm a prized possession. God looks down upon me now as something very valuable. Why? Because a tremendous price was paid for me. That's why. And it was the price that Jesus paid. So I'm a special person now. I'm part of a special group because of that. And I should live in a very special way because of it. Isaiah uses the term in Isaiah 43 verse 1, God looking upon his special people saying, "You are mine." See, we're special. We're a unique group of people. We are God's people. Not because of our parents, not because of how much money we have, not because of where I was born, not because of my physical ancestry, none of those things. It's the new birth that makes all the difference, not the physical birth. And then finally, the last question, what does redemption show? Isaiah has two great passages that tell us what redemption shows. And both of these, again, should motivate us to live very differently than the world. To show the world that we are special. And we're grateful because of it. Notice Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. This is a great verse about God's love and compassion. Verse 9 of Isaiah 63 says this. We'll actually go back and read verse 8. "For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old." Why does God redeem his people? Because of his love and his compassion. Because of his love and his kindness. Because of his love and his mercy. That's why he redeems us. And finally, in Isaiah 44, another tremendous verse about redemption. Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 22. These certainly should be some tremendous motivators for us in our lives. These are great verses. Verses 22 and 23 of Isaiah 44. It says, "I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel." That should cause us to rejoice. We were lost. We were slaves. Death had a stranglehold on us. And what did he do? He paid the ransom. Not in gold or silver, which is corruptible, but through his precious blood. The world doesn't understand baptism because the world doesn't understand Christ's blood. Because the two are completely and totally entwined. They're joined together. You don't have one without the other. Thus the necessity, the importance of the new birth. Being born of water and the Spirit. Being born again. Being born from above. That's why baptism is so important. Because that's when the ransom is really paid. That's when that thick cloud covers our transgressions and our sins. Tonight, if that is your desire to have those sins covered, removed, then we certainly encourage you and want you to come as we stand and sing this song.